In my unsent tweet box awaiting a substantial edit is an epigram on the connection between internet sharing culture and the rise of spoken word performance nights. Stands to reason, right, that a belief that everything in your head needs planting on the social web must somehow be related to the confessional armies now grabbing the open mic to share poems, anecdotes, jokes, and inspirational talks. Our guests on Culture File this time, James Moran and Stefan Handley, are, like it or not, part of a busy wave of off-kilter performance happenings, such as the artist performance cabaret Foaming at the Mouth. The pair's experimental comedy show, Atom Tick, centres on a pilot for an unproduced TV sitcom. So when they visited Culture File Towers recently, I asked to hear some of Life with Dave.
Interior, apartment, style, urban chic. The woman is standing right in the middle of the room, clutching a mug of wine in her right hand. The man is standing right at her right-hand side. They both take a deep swig of their drinks and immediately see each other. I'm James Moran. I'm a cyber psychologist and a comedian. And this is...
Stefan Handley. I'm a sculptor slash performance artist.
As it happens, I'm in the market for a sitcom.
Oh,
if I just found a really good one.
That's good.
Look no further. The pilot is called The Life of Dave.
Yeah.
And there are four characters. There's Dave.
He is the head of medicine at the Manhattan Hospital.
Yeah. He cheated on his wife and he has to move in with his two employees.
Slash best friends.
The man is a nurse.
Yeah. And the woman is a doctor.
Yeah. And then there's a landlord. And we've actually got Peter Capaldi to play the landlord.
Yeah. So
that's quite a coup.
It really is.
He was really happy about it as well. He really liked the script.
He said it was the best script. He said, quote me, Peter Capaldi, this is the best script I've ever read.
Yeah.
So we might...
But mind you, he has been reading a lot of Doctor Who scripts recently and they're obviously not much competition.
No, exactly.
They both take a deep swig of their drinks and immediately see each other. Man to woman.
Hey.
Woman to man.
Hey.
Woman and man together.
Hey.
Landlord enters the room. Man to landlord.
Hey.
Landlord to man.
Hey.
To woman.
Hey.
Woman to landlord.
Hey.
Man, woman, landlord all together.
Hey. Hey.
Man.
So how did the
man is rudely interrupted by the dull sounds of the thoughts of the landlord. Enter Dave, stage left.
Guys, I've just divorced my wife out of my own free choice. It was mutual. And now you must accept me into your home despite the reservations of landlord Peter. End scene.
End scene.
What was that?
It was a sitcom.
That was our sitcom. Yeah, the sitcom that everyone will like.
Well, yeah.
We hope. We know.
It normally has a bit more energy to it.
Yeah, there'll be more laughing.
You've got sort of such quite a small audience here, basically. You've got me. Mm. It's not enough laughter.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I did my best.
Yeah,
but, you know,
we could see.
I'm just not a great audience.
It's grand. We need a harsh audience, really, to really refine this idea that we know is a good idea.
Yeah. It's a show. We've been calling it art house comedy. It's not really pub comedy, which we're not very good. Well, I'm not very good at. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a show that's an hour long and has all these running jokes through it and a lot of repetition, and really tries to use it's in a gallery, so we try to use the gallery space as much as possible. So we're doing a lot with projectors. We have videos playing. We have a scene where we're trying to perform surgery, but we're sort of using all these fruits
to represent
different body parts.
Yeah.
See, I suppose Stuart Lee does art house comedy.
Yeah, well, the reason I wouldn't say that is because Stuart Lee, there's no stagecraft to what he does. Maybe he uses the stage, he uses a lot of the space on the stage, but it's like there's a lot of spoken word poetry in Dublin at the moment, and they make these spoken word plays, and you have four people standing in a row, and then the poetry is excellent, but there's no stagecraft because it's very static. Whereas you have a group like Petty Cash with that show on The Fringe called Err. And it was the first one I saw, and they really used, they had like a nicely decorated stage, and there was a lot of like atonal noise, which sort of interacted with the poetry. So there were bits where you couldn't really hear what they were saying. There was a lot of flashing lights and live music. So that's sort of, we're trying to do that. We're trying to maybe we have a similar approach in some ways to Stuart Lee in the content, but I think we're really trying to use the stage in terms of stagecraft, in terms of appearance, and using the space well.
So what's missing from everyday, ordinary comedy that fine art can bring to it?
We're going to have a patient audience, which you don't normally get at stand-up nights, because you have, you know, at stand-up you have your 7 minutes and you have to cram as much in as possible. And a lot of the time that's really funny, because it's just, you get these really dense pockets of comedy. Whereas here we're trying to, like, the way the basic, the way the show works is that it's 3 20-minute sections and we repeat each section.
Yes, because it's like a law of comedy that if a joke isn't funny, if you just repeat it often, then it becomes hilarious.
Yeah, that's the law.
We also are hoping that we don't depend on laughter in the thing.
It'll be interesting in a way.
If someone finds it funny, but they don't have to feel like they have to laugh. Because that's also a thing in comedy things where to support the person, you gotta laugh.
And it's something that stand-up comedians often do. You know, you can tell sometimes that the material isn't there, but something about the way they perform it makes people feel, as you say, obliged to laugh. Mm. You're removing that obligation.
Yeah. There's no strings attached with us.
We don't necessarily always give people space to laugh either. Like, we might read this script, we might sort of race through it, and we're almost trying to, like, stop the audience from laughing. Mm. We're trying to suppress it.
So, and, like, if they want to laugh, I guess we'll just pause for a bit. But they don't have to.
They don't have to. We don't want to force anyone to do anything they're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Have you tried stand-up comedy? What happens when you bring this approach to the International or some other venue like that?
I did the Halfpenny Inn once. And I went really badly. That was, like, the worst 7 minutes of my life. But I perform a lot of spoken word nights. And there's a group called Petty Cash who run a lot of nights, or the Monday Echo, which is in the International, but it's in the basement. So we perform it there, and I guess it's not really a stand-up atmosphere, so they tend to enjoy it. Again, I think a lot of it comes down to patience. Sometimes if you're performing where a lot of the other poets, or a lot of the other performers are poets, or they write short stories, people are more willing to critically engage with the piece. So they might laugh and they might find it funny, but they're also sort of thinking about it. And you can give people space to think about it. Whereas in a stand-up comedy club, people don't really want that space.
James Moran and Stefan Handley there. And that show, Atom Tick, is at Palace Projects in the Coombe in Dublin on the 27th and 28th of November. Search Atom Tick on Facebook for more. Now to edit that tweet.